Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 32. Tom, we are now in our 30s.
Strange.
I know.
I feel older. I'm moving slower.
You don't really want to go out as much now, do you?
Yeah, but I don't need to make excuses for it either.
You just say I don't want to.
No.
Yeah. We've also got a wonderfully special guest with us. We've got Cam. How are you going, Cam?
I'm very well, thanks. I sound a bit like a haggard fishwife, but...
Well, we've always been missing one of those on this show, so thank you for filling that quota.
You're welcome.
Long-time listeners, this is the Cam.
Yeah, the Cam.
You have been referenced. You have been mentioned. You're now here.
Christmas ham?
Yep.
Did that
Christmas
come
ham
up?
Cam.
No, okay.
It's mainly about that. It's been mentioned a couple of times, I think.
A few times.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm. Tom's managing to not go red in the face and have steam coming out of his ears mentioning ham.
Well, we're nowhere near Christmas. Okay. The looming threat of ruined ham is not here.
Good thing we've never really done Christmas in July as well. Like,
we did that when I was real young, and somehow, like, we went up the Blue Mountains and somehow we ended up on German television. Yeah, we got asked if we'd be in, like, their equivalent of Better Homes and Gardens or something like that, and there's... I saw footage of us, and there's footage of us walking up a mountain.
In Lederhosen? Or?
No. Hello, we're in Australia. We hope you like Christmas in July in Germany.
Were you doing that accent?
No, but I can when I want.
Okay, great. That's amazing. So good. Unfortunately, we won't be talking about German Better Homes and Gardens this
episode. Oh, you don't know what I've been watching.
Oh, fair enough. I really don't. That's true. We've got a quiz. We're going to mix things up a little bit in that the quiz is going to go before the spoiler alert.
Remix.
Exactly. Because Westworld season finale was the season finale, and there was an awful lot of spoilers if you haven't watched the episode. So you can enjoy the quiz, and if you haven't watched Westworld yet, you can stop straight after that.
Leah, I'm giving you a gold star for consideration.
Thank you.
That's very considerate of our listeners.
This is the one time I've remembered to be considerate, so I'm feeling pretty special. pretty rough with myself. We've got a few different newsy stories.
Yeah.
Bits and pieces happening around. I'm going to start off with... you know how Jon Snow knows nothing?
Mm.
He got married to Ygritte.
Yep.
That was always going to happen. It should have happened in the show, but instead he decided to have adult happy time with his aunt.
Did fans give it a name? Because we've had
a red
wedding, a purple wedding. That's
the
Joffrey.
Bastard wedding? The wildling wedding? I don't know. What would you call it?
One.
Because it's in real life as well. The wedling. Wildling wedding. I see what you've done there. That's really good. Heaps of famous cast members there. Peter Dinklage, John Bradley, a.k.a. Samwell, Maisie Williams, Sophie Turner, Emilia Clarke. They were some of them. I can only assume the honeymoon's going to be in some wet cave somewhere.
Was Ghost there?
We haven't seen Ghost for a while.
I know. Everyone's worried about where that direwolf is. Surely he got an invite.
But Ghost also disappeared earlier on in the show.
You're right.
For a while. And in the book as well. And Jon Snow was like...
Was Sam there? I'm concerned about Sam.
Yeah, Sam was there. I would really hope they're great mates in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be there, 100%.
A little observation, though. I'm sure it's come up before, but... Why do you think, like, Sam has managed to retain a lot of his water weight despite being north of the wall?
Yeah, there's not much food on offer.
No.
He's been down south for a while now, down at the library city.
I was rewatching a bit of season 3 the other day, you know, when he finds the dragon glass and that sort of thing, and he was still looking pretty healthy there.
He's a healthy lad.
He is a healthy lad.
That's a good point.
Extra portions.
Yeah.
So, Cam, are you going through from season 1 through to where we're up to, or are you just caught it?
Well, my mum, Tom's mum as well, she's broken her foot.
Oh, no.
So she's been convinced to rewatch, watch Game of Thrones for the first time.
Yeah, right. Is she into it?
Yeah, I've been pestering her for years, and every time we talk about it, it's so violent.
It's so violent.
Every time.
She can't deal with the animal cruelty either, I think.
I'm enjoying it, but I'm quite reserved because it's quite full on.
She watched 5 episodes in a row the other day.
I know.
Whoa.
I came in and I was like, Mum, it's time for dinner.
I caught her for afternoon tea on Sunday. I said, what have you been up to? She said, I went and bought seasons 4 through 7.
I know. Goodness. She gets so excited.
Where are you up to? It's the end of season three. There's about to be a wedding.
The best was the other day. She got confused because she was putting the DVD into the dark. She put in episodes 9 and 10,
uh-oh,
watched them, and then realised she hadn't seen 7 and 8.
Oh,
so
no.
So she was, I thought a bit was missing.
That's how I feel, watching it year from year, because sure, I have to wait each year. And, you know, there are characters that suddenly reappear.
Again?
I literally don't even remember your face because now you're 15 and you were 5 when I first
Forest
met you.
Of Mia,
yeah, all that sort
Brotherhood
of stuff.
Of Banners.
So hard to remember them all. But that's my excuse. I've got time. But
the most important one to remember, I stand by it, is Gendry, who
yes,
is the bastard
Baratheon
son. Yeah, mm-hmm, with a big fuck off hammer.
What about Hot Pie?
Hot Pie?
He
Hot
looks
pie.
Like he makes a good pie.
Oh,
he came
yeah,
back.
Yeah.
They caught up with Hot Pie again.
Apparently he's opened up a bakery in real life.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That has to sell. Like, he has to sell out of pies each day.
Chicken and leek.
Oh, yes, all please. Out. No, I don't know why we're talking about food before lunch. This is when we're recording it.
Foolish.
Starving. So what do you reckon they had at the wedding, the wedling, food-wise?
Pie.
Just some pie.
A large pie. Maybe do some choking.
Like wolf, like biltong or something?
Yeah, something chewy.
Lecker.
Das ist sehr lecker.
Whoa.
Super geil.
Super what?
Wir können in Deutsch sprechen.
Ah, I see.
Sorry, listeners.
Not me, though.
No.
That's fine.
That's okay.
I'm sure we've got at least one German listener.
I imagine the wine flowed freely.
Mm-hmm.
That dancing and revelry was had.
Oh, I love revelry.
Do you think they had a themed menu where, like, you know, each of the items on the menu referenced a different
thing
from the show?
I don't know.
Please be that.
Oh, God, I think that's the sort of thing a
I'd
fan
play
would
to that.
Do. I think that's the sort of thing a fan would do. I think those guys,
they'd have to at least drink out of goblets.
No, they're supposed to be very chill couple. I don't know if they'd buy into
that
shit.
But still, like, they could have had a big long pavlova and called it the wall for dessert. That's fine. Sure. Play on that.
What makes you say they're a chilled couple? Like, they're not going to report on them being a very, like, you know, highly strung couple.
No, I mean, they don't, neither of them buy into all the publicity bullshit, and both of them
I can see
they don't play along with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Be silly about
that. That's fair.
He's a serious actor.
He's an actor.
He is too. I forgot about
Except
that.
Except when he teams up with, like, Andy Samberg and does weird tennis mockumentaries, and he's done some oddball stuff.
I think that Andy probably brings out the oddball in people, whether they're aware of it at first.
Sure.
And suddenly they're just going along with the tennis mockumentary.
Was Hodor there?
Didn't say. Maybe he was DJing.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'd be cool with that.
That would be amazing. Anyway, enough about...
Christian Nairn, isn't it?
Yes.
Is that the Hodor, I was going to say?
Hodor.
Is that Hodor?
Hodor.
Doesn't he have a tattoo on his face in real life?
No. On his neck, maybe.
Maybe
no,
it's his
didn't
neck.
He had like a facial tattoo or something, which they had to blot out with makeup.
Might have been a star or some stars or something.
Oh, yeah.
A big rainbow flag or something.
Yeah, he would have that. Maybe that's on his back.
I think so.
Yeah.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Tom, what other news have you got?
So, if you're a fan of Jerry Springer...
Which most people are.
I got some sad news.
What?
After more than 4,000 episodes, the show has finally been cancelled.
Is it 27 years?
Wait
Something
on.
Something like that.
Jerry Springer was still on air.
Uh-huh. I buried the lead there. Sorry. Yeah. Jerry Springer's still been going this whole time. And, yeah, they've made more than 4,000 episodes, and they've just cancelled it now because they figure they've got enough episodes to run in syndication forever.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it 100 episodes and you're in syndication?
Yep.
How well is he paid?
Oh, pretty well.
Like as well as like Judge Judy?
He was the mayor as well.
No,
no
one is Judge Judy.
No.
No.
Maybe Oprah, but you know.
Yeah, that's true. But she's got to funnel it all back into her own network now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's got that and magazines and stuff. Judge Judy Weekly. That's a magazine no one would read.
I kind of think I would.
Oh, it'd be the most judgy magazine.
Oh, come on, though. If you're sitting at the dentist or a hairdresser getting ready, like waiting, and you've got Women's Weekly, I don't know, OK Magazine, and you've got Judge Judy Mag, you're going to pick it up
those. I would read it if she had a column in there where she, like Joan Rivers style, critiqued other people's fashion. She was a fashion judge.
Well, who?
Judy judges you.
What's the name of the bailor that they had on?
The what?
The bailor.
Oh, yeah,
like
the
security guard.
Yeah,
he could do like the astrology readings or something.
Mm. Mm.
And it'd all be like, fool, come on.
For those cusp Pisces out there.
That's right. How many years would that have been for Jerry Springer? I think that Cam was back right. in the early 90s, yeah, wasn't it?
I think it was 20 something.
27 maybe?
That's too many.
I don't know.
That's
too many?
Really?
Far too many. Yeah, it was mid 90s. Early mid 90s. He wasn't on in the 80s, I don't think.
No, that was more your Phil Donahue time, wasn't it? And Oprah. Yeah, so Sally
when
Jesse
did Maury Povich start?
I want to say 20.
Oh, I remember Maury. He was my favourite.
He's hilarious.
Is he still on?
Are you the father?
Yeah. That's what I mean. You are not the father.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I have no time for any of these shows.
They're pretty awful.
That's because it's not the 90s anymore. That was the show. That was the genre.
Even then, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I just watch it looking for the cracks of when you can see they're actors. Because they're actors.
Mm. Yeah, of course.
No.
I mean, no, what? No. Why are you saying that?
It's just fact.
Such a fun spoiler.
4,000 shows, wow.
I got a couple of bits of Marvel news.
Go on.
So Ant-Man and the Wasp opens in like a week and a half. And
what?
Yeah.
That happened quickly.
What? Mm-hmm.
Really quick.
A week and a half.
Yeah, I think it's Thursday week next
week. That's insane.
Ooh. Mm. So the initial critical buzz has just started coming out. Buzz.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so we did that.
And it's very strong. Some people are saying it might be Marvel's best sequel since Captain America Winter Soldier. Which is a very bold call.
Amazing.
But it's quite self-contained and set off its own thing. Now, and it's most importantly,
yes,
it's set before the events of Avengers Infinity War.
Okay.
So, but we could potentially get some clues about at least what the Infinity War 2 or whatever they're going to call it.
I got a pretty strong feeling that the end stinger, like the final
end stinger, he's still doing it.
He is still doing it.
That final
milk can.
You know, the after credits scene. I think we might see someone get a light dusting.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's where we might see the tie-in happen and set things up. But we're going to see a lot of Michelle Pfeiffer. And that's never a bad thing.
Is she going to be wearing the Catwoman suit?
No, she's got her own suit because she's the OG Wasp that's been lost in the quantum realm.
I like the sound. This movie's sounding better.
It's great. And they've added Lawrence Fishburne into the mix.
No.
And he'll be playing Bill Foster.
That's Morpheus, isn't it?
Yeah, Morpheus.
Who he's a character named Goliath.
Goliath.
Who
from
was,
Morpheus to Goliath. Well, his character names are amazing.
Great trajectory.
He was more Giant Man. He was never Ant-Man. Didn't shrink. He was Giant Man. And then someone else took over that title and he was from the army. And so it became G.I. Ant-Man.
G.I.
I love it.
Isn't that clever?
It was very clever.
That's very 90s.
That's 90s Marvel writing, is it?
Fuck yeah, it is.
Who's doing that sort of writing?
Todd McFarlane's still doing a bit of that stuff over in Spawn. You got Rob Liefeld drawing terribly.
Drawing terribly? Really?
Dude can't draw ankles. It's like an industry-wide running joke. This guy can't draw ankles.
So what? Does he just put socks on? Or
he just generally cuts people's feet off the panel or leaves them out because for some reason his legs just taper the wrong way. He's known as the most barrel-chested. Like he drew a picture of Captain America once where Cap's standing in profile and yet you can still see both pecs.
Yeah, what do you mean? I don't understand your point.
It's odd. Anyway.
That's like not being able to draw fingers and just always having clenched fists with all your characters.
Well, a lot of characters wearing gloves.
I think that's part of the reason why a lot of the early Disney sort of drawings, like Mickey and everything, like they
the
put the white gloves, and then also because the characters themselves were black, it sort of offset so then they could actually see the gestures.
That's why the Simpsons only have four fingers.
Easier,
just to make life easier.
Mm-hmm. Faster, more cost efficient.
There you go. So it's all about saving money.
You can rarely see the pinky. It's that small. And so by removing that, it just takes out so much more effort.
Okay.
Gesticulate.
So what about Marvel? Were they five-fingered people?
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't muck around.
No. They throw their money everywhere. Mm.
Yeah. I think even Rocket Raccoon's got five fingers. Groot might not.
No, Groot probably doesn't.
Oh, he does, but they can turn into tendrils and other things. Anyway, Spider-Man 2, they had some news. There was a very, well, I won't say very funny, but there was a humorous video released over the weekend. There's a long-running joke that Tom Holland can't keep a secret. And so much of the Marvel marketing machine is now based around not letting him interview solo. There's a great, like, four-minute clip of Benedict Cumberbatch saving him in different interviews.
Yeah, there's a whole heap of them. It's a great compilation. I think you showed it to me a while ago.
Yeah, they get paired up a lot. Anyway, so he's by himself, and he posted up a video showing that he'd received the script for Spider-Man 2, and the script title on the front, and it's clearly a marketing ploy because scripts do not have covers like that, but it's called Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh,
and
cute.
He's going on a European gap year type thing. I don't know if it's a gap year, but you know, it's a big school excursion.
What's his
over
best buddy's name?
Genki.
Genki. Oh, no, Genki.
Genki is in the comic. Oh, in the film, it's Ned. Ned Leeds, who in the comic becomes Hobgoblin, but I don't think we'll be seeing that.
Ned Leeds, because he is awesome.
He's
so funny.
Yeah.
Yes. So they will all be back, and there's going to be a school trip over to the UK and somewhere else in Europe. I'm not too sure yet. But they're being very cagey as to whether this is set pre-Avengers Infinity War or post, because it's coming out after Avengers 2.
Right.
So he's being very cagey with, I don't know how I'm going to film this because I'm dead. Nah, bro, you're dusted.
How old is Tom Holland?
I think he's 23.
He looks very young.
He looks very young. I don't know how they're going to maintain that sort of young look.
But sometimes,
for 3 years.
Sometimes people are like that. Like, they'll look really super young. I remember Matt Damon.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio.
For years, and then suddenly they
Keanu
look old.
Reeves doesn't seem to age.
No, Keanu.
But he looked kind of old when he was young. He's got that weird flip of when he was real young, still looked a little bit old.
Like Benjamin Button age. Mm.
Yeah. Brad Pitt's another. Another one, he just looked a certain age for a very long time, and then he just, same with Johnny Depp, and then he suddenly looked old and it's like,
no thanks.
Look good. Hey, did you see that Han Solo's blaster from Return of the Jedi was sold at auction in Vegas for $550,000? It's $500,000. Ripley's Believe It or Not bought it. Other stuff that was at the auction, see which one you'd want more. So would you like Han Solo's blaster or the full Superman costume from Superman 3?
Oh, from 3.
Yeah. No. So this is Christopher Reeve sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I want the blaster.
I want the blaster.
All right. These ones you probably won't be as impressed with. Oh, I only left one in. A black wool dress worn by Marilyn Monroe went for $50,000.
Sure.
That was all. But the Superman costume got $200,000. That's a hefty amount of money for some probably non-elastic lycra.
Sweaty spandex.
And it's not even from Superman. It's from Superman 3.
Yeah, that's right. So who was in Superman 3? Who were the baddies? I can't remember those movies.
I wasn't born, so.
Three and four have melded into my mind. Richard Pryor is in one of them.
That was.
I think he's in four.
What's his name from Priscilla, Queen of the Desert? He played Ralph. Terrence
Stamp. Stamp.
He was
Zod.
Yeah.
That's number two.
That's two.
Mm. Superman flies backwards Zod's in time to save Lois. Like he flies so fast that the Earth spins backwards. So
that's how you do it.
Love it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
$500,000 for a fake plastic.
Not bad.
Blaster.
Not bad.
Still kind of like it though.
Hey, have you ever seen Pet Sematary?
Oh, years ago.
Yeah, that Stephen King story.
Yeah.
No, I've seen it in the bookshop. But
sure. Haunted woods behind the house, you bury something there, it comes back.
Nice.
So I might start with some animals and then some other things that we won't get into. Huh. But there's a remake happening. Because of course there
You've
is.
You've got to make a remake, yeah.
But they've got John Lithgow on board.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to be playing the neighbour.
Now, I've seen the first probably half a season of The Crown, which is a great show. I just got carried away with other stuff. But his accent is on point, isn't it? Like,
see,
for an American to do that.
I watched that around the time The Darkest Hour came out as well. And it's hard to pick between the two. I don't think you really can. They're playing Churchill at a
they
different
are.
Point.
Oh,
in life,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
Whew.
Oh, gee, how tough.
Who's no, John favorite? Lithgow is incredible. You don't understand. Like, and he's just so likable.
And because John Lithgow is so famous, I think sometimes it's hard to watch him act and not think it's John Lithgow. But there were parts of him in The Crown where I was watching it going, that's right, that's John Lithgow. Yeah, that's not.
You almost didn't realise.
Yeah. It's not that he looked remarkably different. It's just that his whole persona completely changed. Mm. He's a great actor.
Who's he play in that?
Winston Churchill.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Go away.
Hmm?
Go away. Stop picking on us.
I'm not picking. I'm asking. I haven't.
Oh,
haven't
you,
seen
you don't
it.
Know.
No,
oh,
I'm interested
right. no,
as
no, no.
to.
Is Churchill.
Does he get any
incredible.
Harry and the Henderson style interaction, perhaps shoving a corgi out the door? Go! Get out. We don't want you here.
Harry and the Hendersons 2 needs to be made, but John Lithgow is busy at the moment, you say?
Yes, he's tied up for a little bit at least.
How do you reckon this remake's going to go of Pear Sematary?
Because I'm hoping they make it creepier.
Well,
a bit more horrific and gory.
When do you reckon the original was? That would have been an 80s movie, surely.
Yeah. It's a good film.
Have you seen it recently? Is it holding up?
10 years ago or something like that? Yeah, yeah, look, there's a reason why it's still seen as a classic today.
Okay. Yeah,
it's quite
cool.
Beloved.
Yep.
Speaking of stuff that's beloved, yes, that I'm on board for. So there's currently a Kickstarter campaign to finish and distribute a film, a documentary that I'd be quite interested in called Pick It Up, Scar in the 90s. And it's all about third wave Scar. So
that's
a whole documentary about Mighty Mighty Bosstones, No Doubt, Real Big Fish.
Real Big Fish. I was like, there were three of them.
Oh, there's plenty more.
Well, you know.
You get your Mad Caddies, your Less Than Jake. You can keep moving down in tiers. Then you've got Suburban Legends, who are a ska group that had a residency at Disneyland.
So they were all around the L.A., Orange County.
Very much
so. Yeah.
So it's either known as SoCal Ska, Southern California, or it's Third Wave Ska, because your other forms of ska, your other waves, are generally from Jamaica and involve black people who created the sound.
Yep.
So it's the co-opting.
Yes, right. So this documentary is going to be encompass all of that?
I don't know if it's going to be first and second wave. Uh-huh. I think this is specifically about how if you had the right look, the right sound and a brass section, you could have been massive in 96 through 98.
So if we learn some brass instruments, grab Superman, ask him to fly around the Earth really fast in the opposite direction, pop ourselves into the early 90s, can you imagine how huge we'll be?
What we need to do is be Me First and the Gimme Gimmes before Me First and the Gimme Gimmes were a thing.
Yeah,
so be
right.
Covering songs.
So steal all of their songs.
Well, not even their songs, but just...
Back to the future.
Well, Me First and the Gimme Gimmes don't have any original songs. They're a ska cover band. So all they do is covers of other people's songs. So if we jump in and do that before them, blow people's mind. We could do covers of songs that are around today.
Yes.
Take them back there. And
poker face this Lady Gaga.
It's straight up Marty McFly on the phone, you know. Hey, you've been looking for that sound? Hold it up.
Yep.
It'll be massive.
Yep. The only problem I have, though, and for some reason we reference this almost every week recently, Butterfly Effect.
What are we changing?
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're changing an awful lot.
Gwen Stefani won't have a solo career. She probably won't marry Gavin Rossdale. He won't go and be in the Constantine film. Oh, it's all falling apart.
No, we can't do this.
All right, I'm changing my mind. I don't like it. Let's just watch the movie.
Okay, let's just do that. So, I mean, that sounds like a documentary that people would enjoy watching.
I imagine
it's going to get funded, surely.
If you're a fan of niche 90s music from a very specific area.
You know?
Yeah, it should be interesting.
I quite like music history documentaries, and suddenly I know all about bands that I've never heard of before.
Hi, I'm the voiceover guy, and I've got no pants on.
Well, look, I'm going to tie that story with my next story
together.
Yeah,
go, seg it.
So one of my favourite musicians is a guy named MC Lars.
And yes, I know.
So he's the master of lit hop and nerdcore rap.
Can you explain what Lit Hop is?
Sure. Lit Hop stands for Literature Hip Hop. So he tours around universities in the States giving seminars talking about how hip hop is a direct descendant of Shakespeare.
Insane.
So the same iambic pentameter and this sort of stuff, that Shakespeare was the forerunner of hip hop. So every album he puts out, he has one song that's adapting a Shakespearean sonnet or play into rap form.
Love it.
He also puts out songs like he's got one called Ahab, which is a story from the perspective of Captain Ahab chasing down that white whale.
Yep.
He put out an EP of songs that are just about Edgar Allan Poe, which is great. Anyway, he's just dropped a new EP last week. I'm so excited. It's really good. It's entirely about Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Ah.
These are your two worlds combining.
I know.
These are two of your favourite things.
I know. It's got a song that's told from the perspective of Benny the Cab.
Yeah. Hey! Oh, my God.
You need a lift. You just stick out your thumb.
That is too good.
It's great. Anyone that can rap and say a little bit Chuck, a little bit Tex Avery to describe two great pantheons of animated culture.
Yep.
Ah, it's tight. So if you like something that makes you work a little bit when you're listening, you can't, like, you can put it on and be passive with it, that's fine. But if you want to sit up and listen and enjoy some stuff, this is great. He also has one song where he breaks down the unproduced prequel to Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which was Roger Rabbit and the Toon Squad.
There was a prequel.
Yeah, he was going to be in the war. He was going to save Eisenhower.
Huh.
Why'd we never get that?
Yeah.
Rights issues.
Damn.
That first movie was the most difficult thing Hollywood's ever put together.
I bet.
Yeah.
Because there were people, there were characters from everywhere.
And the rules that they had, like Disney and Warner Brothers had a clause in there where Bugs and Mickey get the exact same number of lines, screen time, attention.
Yeah, everything. And I could, you would only imagine that those sort of clauses and whatnot would be even more ridiculous now.
The only person that seems to be able to pull it off is Steven Spielberg, because he did Ready Player One and pulled the same sort of tricks of calling up everyone in his Rolodex saying...
What did you think of that?
I didn't see it.
I
haven't seen it. I've listened to the audiobook and I was intrigued because I kind of heard a bit of a mix. Some people like, not that good. Other people like, no, it was really fun. So what did you think?
I thought it was fun. And it wasn't like one where you'd, you know, bank on being the best movie of the year or anything like that.
But
it was an enjoyable experience. You went along and I was smiling through a lot of
it. Did you read the book?
No.
Okay, so I've read the book and the book is fantastic. Mm. And the parts that I heard before the movie was that it wasn't a great adaptation. That it was still a good enough film.
Okay.
But I'm happy to leave, like, that's one that I don't need to...
But Cam, were there sort of references to video game culture and other culture?
All sorts. It really sort of played out the pop culture, that sort of thing.
It's got Batman on it.
Had Batman in it, I think.
Akira.
Spartan, I think. Master Chief, sorry.
Okay, Master Chief did it. Because I remember in the book, at least, that it was heavily influencing 80s games.
Yes.
Right.
But I thought potentially they could and probably should have gone with some more recent games to reference. So there's Master Chief bit makes sense.
What I've seen
Iron
in
Giant
stuff,
was in it.
Yeah, which
that
is fantastic.
That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah?
That was very cool.
I saw the DeLorean and Freddy Krueger, Jason.
Yeah, that was it.
So all the 80s horror icons are all through there.
There's heaps of stuff in there. Kind of tempted to watch it now.
Yeah.
It must be streaming, surely, by
I'll
now.
Watch it at home.
Yeah.
It
at home. It was going to the movies, didn't have much to do. I was like, just enjoyable.
That's what I reckon with those sort of movies. Like, you have to go in just going, I'm just here for the movie going experience.
Yeah.
And you end
not
up
too
to
invested.
Enjoying it. Yeah, exactly. Speaking of movie going experience, I saw a bit of a rumor from Lucasfilm. They've put plans on hold for any more spin-offs after Solo, the Solo movie. They'll still have Star Wars, you know, the main story, and then the sequels, are the three after that. But you know how there was talk of Obi-Wan, Boba Fett movies. According to the inside source, they're not happening. But, I mean, take that however you want.
They need to scrap those and just do what everyone wants, which is an origin story of Salacious Crumb, who is Jabba the Hutt's little... Ferrety right, that guy.
By everyone, you mean you?
Yep.
Actually, you know what that could be? And it probably was or was in talks to be a kid's cartoon. And that I can imagine that being an 1980 sort of thing. You know, bring that
in,
sort of thing.
Like, no joke, in my dream universe, the Star Wars movie I would get would be a beautiful story of love between the Rancor handler and the Rancor. Because there was actually a story. In the expanded universe, there's these collection books of, stories from Mos Eisley Cantina or things like that. There's one of stories from Jabba's Palace.
Yeah, right.
There's a beautiful 50-60-page story of how the Rancor handler had lost his family and wife and he'd found companionship in this this monster, and everyone else was terrified, but he and it had a special relationship. And he vows vengeance on Luke for killing the Rancor.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Because
he did
tell
look
you,
pretty crushed in that part.
I won't tell you how the story ends because it's Spoiler. Worth having a bit of a listen, but he might not get the revenge he desires.
Damn. Poor guy.
Yeah. But that's me. I'd like some of that sort of story.
I also feel that with Star Wars, they are super oversaturating the whole thing. And the exciting part about Star Wars and A Force Awakens is that it was so long between Star Wars. So the hype, the anticipation, and now that they're just throwing stuff out every sort of year, or maybe even 6 months, it's too much.
I think they're going
to
do...
We don't care enough. I mean, we care, but we don't care that much.
Disney are meant to be launching their digital platform next year.
Yes.
A streaming platform.
Yeah.
And Jon Favreau is doing a live-action Star Wars show for them.
Hang on, who's Jon...
He directed Iron Man and kicked off the Marvel Universe.
Oh, so it's in good hands.
Yeah. It's great hands. Have you seen Chef?
Chef.
He runs a food truck.
It's just food porn. It's so good.
Yes, I love that movie.
He did the live action Jungle Book. He's currently finishing up live action Lion King at the moment.
Wasn't he in Friends for a while?
Yep.
Was he?
He was Monica's love interest. Yeah. I've been around for years.
He started off with Swingers and Maid, and he did a lot of indie stuff, kind of in a similar vein to Kevin Smith, but not so silly.
Yeah.
I'm much more excited for Star Wars TV show.
Mm.
What sort of thing do you think they'll run with that?
I'm hoping it will be like a Mos Eisley cantina, and it'll be tales of scum and villainy.
A bit like sort of Star Trek-y or sort of
set in like a base sort
of thing, or
I'm thinking more like exploring a Farscape or like the dirty version of Star Trek.
You know what I would like?
Star Trek's always about clean, pristine lines.
Yeah,
and
it's very clean. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you go, like you said, you know, the villains and whatnot, if you even do standalone episodes.
Yeah, make it anthology.
Yeah, like of Bounty Hunters. Like, we've spoken about this before. Yeah, give me an IGA. All of them sitting
there. Give me a Bosk, a Dengar.
They can all come and go from each other's episodes.
Well, did you guys ever watch the animated, like, Clone Wars?
Some pieces? Yes.
I didn't see it, no.
See, some of the, it's on Netflix.
Okay, is it really?
Yeah. It's great.
Is that with, what's his name, Captain Rex?
Captain Rex is on it. Mm-hmm. Star Wars Rebels is pretty good as well. That's come out recently.
Mm-hmm.
But the Clone Wars is pretty good because you do get some episodes where it just sort of follows a bounty hunter or something like that, and it just really develops their character.
Were they sort of the standout episodes for you?
Oh.
Or they were just sort of nice changes?
They were nice changes. Yeah. I always enjoyed Yoda. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody likes a bit of
you
Yoda.
You like old people, that's why.
Oh, I do.
He does.
The decrepit.
He's a man that would happily hang in a nursing home.
Yep.
Because they've got just good stories in that.
Oh, and when they sling those knitting needles together.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
What about...
Knit me a scarf, please. Mm. Come on.
When they don't have to watch their hands, that's knitting talent.
That is knitting talent.
Now, speaking of knitting talent, got any other news?
So, for next week, two shows coming back that I'm very excited for. Preacher arrives back.
What's Preacher?
It's the Texan preacher, who loses his faith at the same moment the offspring of a demon and an angel escapes from heaven.
From an 80s comic.
Yeah, it's very, very violent.
Or was it 90s?
Early 90s. Yeah. And it fuses with him and gives him the voice of God. And so when he talks, people have to do what he says. He discovers that God has abandoned his post, so he sets out with his hard-drinking assassin girlfriend and junkie vampire Irish best friend, and they go out to find God and make him answer for his crimes.
Right.
It's heady.
Right.
Very, very heady. It's very silly. It's produced by, and a lot of it's written by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, his writing partner.
Okay.
And they just go all out. Anyway, so season one, the town they were in, things didn't turn out well for that town. Season two, they finally hit the road, found God, or looking for God.
Yep.
And season three, they're spending a lot of time in a place called Angelville, which is where Jesse grew up. And all the stuff that led to him being
Cool. So you get a bit twisted. Hopefully this season you'll get a bit of fleshing out of that background.
Horrible hillbillies. A lot of incest. I think some chickens can get fucked.
Oh, no. Oh, poor things.
Yep.
So where do... I mean, that's obviously on iTunes. Is it anywhere else in Australia?
They generally screen it pretty quickly here.
Okay, good.
Because it's an AMC show.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yes, so I imagine it'll be out. I just saw on iTunes that they posted the first episode of season three for free. So
great.
I grabbed that this morning. Yeah. And check that out. The other one that I'm very excited for is called Detroiters. Detroiters, as in the place Detroit.
Yep. And let's not get this confused with the PS4 game that came out about a month ago.
No. It's two friends. One of them is played by Sam Richardson, who you might know from Veep. It's not a big name by any stretch of the imagination. But these two friends work at an advertising agency that they inherited. They are fucking idiots. Just stumble into failure episode after episode.
Nothing goes wrong.
Detroiters.
Right.
Detroiters. It's really satisfying. What's that?
Where did you find that?
Again, that's up on iTunes.
Okay.
But I think it might be Comedy Channel. It's produced by Lorne Michaels.
Right.
So it's from the SNL library.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know, the show, it has a really good heart.
Yeah.
They are bumbling fools but never malicious. So
yeah,
it's
nice.
not a, always sunny. It's not where they're out to ruin things for other people. It's right. just they just don't. They're very inept and tend
they're
to stumble
a little
through
Inspector
life.
Gadgety.
A little bit. I think sometimes things Inspector pan out really Gadget. Well, and they've made some fantastic viral videos unintentionally humorous.
Sounds fun.
But yeah, it's a very I don't know. It's just a warm, comfortable blanket of a show.
You need shows like that.
Yeah.
You do. You need those. You often call them palate cleansers. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're sort of even mood enhancers. You know, when you're feeling a bit blah and you kind of just don't want to do anything and you're flicking through all the different options to watch stuff and nothing's sitting right. It's that kind of show that you should immediately turn to because you know that you'll be able to sit with it.
Yeah. See, I stumble into the weird area.
Really?
So, like, the other day I was on Netflix and I stumbled. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the Norwegian slow TV format.
Yeah, that's your thing.
Can you explain? No.
Isn't that all the weird Danish murder mysteries?
No. This is weird stuff. So, like, where they, like, I'm sure someone enjoys it out there. But
obviously,
where
they'll strap making it.
cameras to all around a train and then film it and broadcast it for like 8 or 12 hours.
So you just watch a train.
And people go out. Like all the Norwegians go out and they wave at the, train.
TV train's coming.
You know, the rest of the world just calls that streaming.
Oh, I know. But Twitch. No, they call it slow TV. And there was this one on a knitting evening. And it was, I was like, what happens? So it was a 4.5 hour broadcast.
Holy cow.
A stitch in time. Yeah. nine.
I watched about 30 minutes of it. It was so weird.
Did you, how did it make you feel? Did it make you feel calm? Was there an emotion attached to it at the end?
Oh, it was more just sort of
perplexed.
Perplexing and a bit like, oh, culturally, this is different.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So this is a thing over
It
there.
Is a thing.
Wow. Like you said, great. Tom, there's streaming for that, but they put it on
like national TV.
What's the quality of their shows?
That's what
they want to replace.
Well, you see, they've got that obviously as a genre, and then they've got the, like you said, the murder mysteries.
It is dark for like 22 hours of a day or something like that during winter. So
it's a long time.
Probably
isn't
need
it?
Something.
Look, speaking of murder mysteries and that sort of thing, this is an English show, so it's not exactly Norwegian, but it's still pretty
fuck
heavy.
Fuck it, lump them in. Europeans.
Marcella.
I don't care about your EU Brexit bullshit.
Well, they're trying to Brexit, but Marcella season 2 came out on Netflix, and that's one of those shows. I don't know about you guys, but do you watch episodes of, like, series returns of episodes, and they'll do that previously on the last season just to catch you up?
Oh, I love those.
And you realize how much you'd forgotten. And you think, thank goodness for that. This was one of those episodes. I went, oh, I even forgot who the murderer was. But she's a detective in London, and obviously she's having to solve murder mysteries. But she's also got a bit of a problem with herself because she just blacks out a lot.
Like from the drink?
No, there's no drink.
Is that like...
She doesn't actually know why she's blacking out.
Right. Like narcolepsy type thing? Like she's
dissociation. No, just memory. Sort of. Just has lost the last 12 hours.
Oh, too
and
many pills.
Will appear, and will turn around.
She's addled.
Yeah, exactly. Probably. Sure. And everything's just ruined and wrecked because she's just had a huge temper tantrum or something. Unhinged, I think is the word.
Didn't
and
get her equal in her coffee.
That's right. Managed to sort of keep it all a little secret. But I feel like this season, because I've only watched one episode, I think that problem is going to be revealed to more people. And that could end up being a problem for her job. Because you don't really want a murder mystery detective, a murder detective to not have any idea what she's done.
So the detective has got to hope that other people don't detect anything wrong.
Oh, see what you did there.
I know a giant magnifying glass out.
You're a Sherlock. I know a lot of people really like Marcella season one, and that's just a shout out if you haven't watched it yet.
I reckon murdering someone in London would be pretty tough to get away with because you got Sherlock, you got Luther.
Yep.
You got the Bill.
Da 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 da.
Pop around the back, quick, Sherlock. Don't spill your coffee.
All right, Governor. Cam, what have you been watching this week?
I recently finished Full Metal Alchemist, which is an anime show. And it was one of the best things I've ever watched.
Really?
Yeah. I plowed through it in about 2 weeks, probably watching way too many episodes at a time. But the fact that each episode was only about 20 minutes just made it so easy to just click next.
Yeah, they're super. Yeah, you can get through those fast.
So my first question, an alchemist is someone who works with metals, right?
Yeah.
So what is...
Well, materials. It's transmuting one thing into another thing.
Okay, and why does this person need to be full metal? Like, is it like horns up, Opeth?
Well, I don't want to spoil the story. So this...
Spoil away, man. It's anime. I'm never watching it.
This is true. So Full Metal Alchemist is a remake of like a manga, which was made, like a Japanese comic.
Yes.
And basically, these two boys, brothers, their mother dies. They try to bring her back. Through alchemy, which is like one of the massive sins. And in the process, one of the brothers loses his body. So they bind him to a metal sort of suit of armor.
Okay.
And then the other one loses an arm as well. And it's sort of on their quest to try and recover their bodies. And there's big bad evil and all this sort of thing. And it's just really good action.
So it's like Pokemon, but with limbs.
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure. Not really at all.
I can see how you could watch this, just churn through the episodes because you'd be wanting to progress through that story and get the answer at the end.
Exactly. And then there's just big twists and you're like, who's this bad guy? Who's in charge? And it just, you know, changes.
Sure. How many episodes?
I want to say like 60, maybe?
Okay.
It's a lot. Because it's up
maybe
there.
Maybe not that much. But, like, you know, if you look at Watch Mojo, like, you know, top anime shows, it often comes in number
one. It's always
one.
Up there.
I was going to say, it's really up there as it's influential, right?
You
put it in there with, like, a Ghost in the Shell and an Akira. It's in that.
So, but it's like, mid-2000s sort of thing. But the pacing's excellent. Probably the first four episodes, like every TV show, you know, a little bit slow and you're like, what's going on? And like you just really warm to every character and then all of a sudden you think, oh, they're not that important. And they come up later and it just ties it in really well.
I have an important question.
Yes.
Can you sing some theme song for us? Because that's the make and break on an anime for
me. I can't. It's in Japanese.
Oh.
Would you like to hum it?
Oh.
All right. Well, if that's too much, can we ask, is it super catchy?
It is very catchy.
So you were singing it for that 2 weeks.
There's about 4 or 5 different intros, and my housemate got shitty at me because he just hear them all the time. Because they are like a 20-minute episode, and they just seem to just pop up all the time, and he's like,
not again.
Is that Ed?
That is Ed.
Does Ed listen?
Does he listen?
To the podcast.
Oh, he hasn't in a while, but he should.
Talk some shit about Ed. Let's find out.
Yes.
Okay.
How are your sock tan lines, Ed?
Oh, they're pretty poor, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's winter.
Ed likes to wear boat shoes and a loose collared
white.
Does he
wear
his socks
with his collar up for the lads?
Oh, yeah. For the lads.
He's very, like, preppy, sort of, like, my daddy. I dress like this because daddy likes me wearing this.
His hair still looks like he got out of the shower 8 hours later.
Yeah, right.
He loves his Brill cream.
He does.
Very slick.
I have got an image in my head and I think it's pretty accurate.
Bro.
He's very neat. Very clean guy.
Slick curls. Get the girls.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Mm. Yeah. And also, I've been watching Queer Eye.
Mm.
Yeah, because that's back.
Yes.
That is back.
So we were talking about that a little bit with Linz last week. She's a big fan.
What did Linz have to say?
She said that she finished episodes with a bit of a cry.
Oh, yeah.
You were the same?
Up. Yeah. I felt the last two episodes of the second season were a bit like, okay, this is a little bit scripted at times or whatever.
That's a shame.
But the first episode of the second season just really stood out. It just was very genuine. Tears were coming.
Was that the one where they go to Yas?
No, Yas is like a little webisode they've set up.
Oh, okay, because I saw that episode floating around online. I think it may be part of season 3 from the States or something like that, if that's the case.
Because there weren't many episodes, were there, in this season?
About 8 or 9, maybe. But the Yas episodes, it's completely contained. It's 20 minutes.
Okay.
So you can watch it all. I did.
So you're completely caught up?
I'm completely caught up. I've watched it all.
So now you've got to wait.
Now I have to wait, but I follow each of the Fab Five on Instagram.
Great.
And you get your little fix that way.
So do you think, now we were talking about this the other week with, so you've got the guy that does the design, like the home.
Oh, Bobby. He does all the work.
And then you've got the guy that cooks.
Anthony.
Because I can never remember their names.
Is he the guy with Steve Aoki hair?
No. That's Jonathan Van Ness. Oh.
Now, what does Jonathan do?
Jonathan's grooming.
See, grooming's an obvious job, and then you've got the fashion, and then you've got the poor guy that has to do the culture.
Well, you know the original show, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
I remember watching it.
I can't remember his name, but the culture expert used to just, advise people on rearranging their CD collections.
Yeah, that was all it was. That's my memory of his job. Just, hey, man, if you put in some cool jazz instead of some ska, I think the ladies will really like you more. And the guy's like, okay, cool.
Okay.
I'll do it.
But the new culture expert, Karamo, is his name. And he just seems to just sit in the car with them and just like...
He's just there.
Let's talk about feelings and that sort of thing. You
know? It's a hard gig though, that
one. It is a hard gig.
Yeah.
I think he does a good job. Anthony, he's just the food and wine expert.
Mm.
He seems
is
to
he
just,
very serious about it?
No, he just he really enjoys making guacamole.
Well, don't
that's
we all?
About it.
You know,
like a lot of fans out there actually question his expertise with the food and
guacamole.
Wine because he's like, yeah, today we're making hummus, and you're like,
not hard. He's a blender,
but it's good. It's good though because they're going in and they're teaching these guys who can't really cook.
Yeah,
just
can't
how to make
be
something
giving
simple,
them a cordon bleu recipe.
No degustation here.
Yeah, totally. All right, so that's on Netflix, and they're all the episodes are up. But the webisodes, I guess you just Google them.
If you go anywhere near Facebook, Netflix Australia is going to push it to you.
Okay.
They're sponsoring it with a lot of money behind
it. Yeah,
they are really
pushing it.
And then even, the crew from Queer Eye, they're pushing other, Netflix shows, I noticed. Like, Nailed It, I think it is.
Yep. Oh,
you guys know that one?
Steph is, my sister, is so excited about that. She watched the first season, and she's already been telling me for what feels like months, it's coming back. He's coming back. She loves that show. It is fun. It's a fun show. It's kind of...
It's like a silly cake boss,
isn't it? Be on your phone whilst it's on kind of show.
Yeah, right.
You can definitely do
it. Bit like Barbecue Pitmasters.
Exactly. In fact, if you go back-to-back with that, that'd be a total palate cleanser from a gory Game of Thrones episode for your mum.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe you should throw those in her direction.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What else have you been watching, Tom?
Oh, okay. I'm going to burn through a couple of things here real quick.
Do it.
And say thumbs up or thumbs down. Running Wild with Bear Grylls this week. Don Cheadle. What a pull.
Yeah, right.
That's Hollywood A-list.
That's huge.
That's big.
That's a proper
Don
actor.
Don Cheadle.
His kids made him do it. Yeah, his kids watched the show religiously.
So where did he have to go?
Mountain.
Okay.
They eat some rough shit. They find a rotting beaver in a river.
Always some sort of rotting food.
Yeah.
Do you think they place them there?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Bear's like, we can eat this. And Don's like, hey, I know this is a PG show, but fuck off. I'm not eating that. Bear's like, no, it's good. And Don's like, no, just smell. That's not good. And they cut it open and maggots fell out.
Oh.
And Bear was like, yeah, okay, this one might be a bit rough. So they left that. So that was great. Tiny Luxury.
Is that the tiny houses?
It's one of the tiny house shows.
There's a lot
of
tiny house
shows.
There's
a lot. This one is about two young female friends. Uh-huh. They've both got a two-year-old kid, and they own a donut shop together, and they wanted to find somewhere where they could...
Sorry to butt in, but this talk of donuts and beaver tails.
It's not fair.
So in Canada, they have these things called beaver tails.
Right.
Which is basically like a flat donut.
And?
It's so good. And you can get Nutella or lemon and sugar on it. It's delicious.
Okay.
Sorry, that's all I'm thinking about right now.
Sure, you keep thinking
Me
about
too.
That. They've opened a mobile donut shop so they can drive around, pull up. They've got their places to
Have
sleep.
Have they got their tiny house attached to the
Oh, it's all one
trailer?
Thing. So they've got a full working kitchen. That's been given thumbs up by code standards and practices.
I mean, sounds great, but you're living...
And they have a glass door in the kitchen so the kids can play in the room next door while they're working and making donuts. Good on them.
Yeah, I mean, it's great.
Have it go. It did look like they were both young single mums that had maybe gotten away from some sort of bad relationship.
So now they're sort of teamed up and they're going to make a life for them and their kids.
Yeah, so I was pretty on board with that. That was a good way to spend 20 minutes. I watched a show called Misfit Garage, which I won't again. It's about guys that make custom cars and custom bikes, and these guys are the outcasts of the community.
Oh, man.
We're doing things crazy.
Look out.
Anyway, they thought they were commissioned by Chris Pratt to make a dinosaur-themed bike for Jurassic World.
But
there was some sort of communication, and he was more just like offhandedly saying, wouldn't it be cool if there was? So they didn't get to give the bike to Chris Pratt in the end. But he left them a video message thanking them.
That's awkward. That's so awkward.
It was pretty awkward. Drunk History is back, which, you know, I'm always a big fan of a bit of Drunk History.
Yeah, that's
a
great
World
show.
War II special this week.
Oh, great.
They had Randall Park on, who you might know from Fresh Off the Boat. He also played Kim Jong-un in the interview.
I know exactly who it is.
He did a wonderful segment about the internment camps during World War II.
Yeah, right.
It was quite a moving story.
Great.
What else we got? Marvel Spider-Man cartoon is back for, I think, season 4.
Where do you get that?
I get everything off iTunes. You don't need to ask.
I should stop asking.
It's a Disney show. It's on Disney.
Because my palate cleanser is a good animated show.
Mm. Sure. Like, this is a fine animated show. It's nothing.
Have you watched Young Justice?
Yeah, that one's another that's fine.
What do you think about it, Cam?
Oh, I enjoyed it. It's just that sort of like, I like the mindless sort of show right before bed. And it's short episodes again. Sure. And it's I can sleep now. Because I'm not too invested.
Your brain switched off.
And it's simple enough story that you can leave it for 2 months.
Yeah, right.
And then you're like, oh, okay, come back. And it's not
a hard one.
Yeah, no big harm if you lose where you're at.
Yeah, great.
I caught part of an episode of a show called Disney's Fairy Tale Weddings, which...
So are these the characters or are these people getting married at Disney?
These are people getting married at Disneyland, and I thought there might be some interesting stuff to learn. No, it's just a sales package. It's just
That's a shame.
Well, it's a reality-style show, but it's not
I
proper
know
reality.
Exact.
It's
no.
just two people that are about to get married, and we follow their path to getting married at Disneyland.
Are they a little crazy?
No.
I've always, you know, wanted to be watching something like that, you know, just be watching someone who's crazy about Minnie Mouse and, you know, has little band-aids with Minnie Mouse on them as well.
I thought it was going to be that, but it was just a very sanitized, here at Disney, you can...
Speaking of Disney, I have a friend who moved from New Jersey to Florida. Probably about
a year ago.
Yeah. She sent me a random WhatsApp message a few days ago that said, there's so many mullets in Florida.
Sure.
And I went, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. There'd be Mulletville. As the oversized singlets, you know, where you get to see a lot of armpit. And
that's where Jacksonville is.
Have you got a reputation of being a mullet lover or something?
No, I don't know why. I don't know why she decided that I needed to know that. But, mullets are still big over there.
That's where Jason Mendoza on Good Place.
That's right.
He's from Jacksonville.
Yeah. He doesn't have a mullet, though.
He does not. But I think one of his friends did in the flashback where he locked himself in the safe. That's how he died.
So good.
So I'm continuing watching American Ninja Warriors, as I am wont to do. They had the qualifiers in Miami down in
Florida. How many mullets are in the crowd?
Well, it was quite a few. But my favorite guy was a guy called The Moose.
The Moose.
Was he from Canada?
No, he's a 43-year-old PE teacher from Florida. Huh? He did part of the course backwards.
No.
What? How?
Did you get extra points? Or?
Sure.
Well, it was a new challenge that was designed by fans and sent in over the year-long break.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it involved, how do I put this? So you know those things that they get dogs to run up and they have two angles and a
little
flat.
Yes, a trestle.
So it's like that, but there's rungs on the top of it and you've got to hold a metal bar and pull yourself up, jump the metal bar up the rungs, then
sounds
go across
difficult.
The flat, and then the real difficult part is jumping down with the rungs on the other side.
Yeah,
get a
right.
donut at the end?
No, but the angles of this, because you've got to swing, the angles of it is the taller you are, the more difficult, because as soon as you swing back, you hit the ramp behind you.
Oh.
So this PE teacher was like, nah, stuff it, and did it backwards and made it through, was the first person up the wall for the night. They jokingly said it was an old man course because the second person that got through was a 49-year-old guy known as The Booty.
Hey,
The Booty.
Is
because
it
he is
had a
tight.
Bottom?
No, he's very tight, muscly and sinewy. You know when you see old man fit?
You're
like
whoa.
There's young guy
like
fit.
An old
you're like
pirate.
You're tough. like a leathery couch that's not comfortable.
No.
One of those
rippled ones.
Yeah. You know, like. And then Jessie Graff was in, who's one of the biggest female names in Ninja, and first woman up the wall this year, and she's off. She works as a stunt double. She's off filming something secretive over in Europe at the moment.
Awesome. That's exciting.
Making a lot of noise about it, but wouldn't tell us what.
Rude.
Very rude. I deliberately stopped halfway through a show I was watching called Extinct or Alive.
Why? Did you hate it so much? No, or are you busy?
I'll tell you why. So I like these shows where people go, mythological ones, not as much. I'm not into someone who's going to find Bigfoot because they won't find Bigfoot. Like, you keep watching.
Why? Why?
What's that ride at Disneyland where they've
Matterhorn?
The Matterhorn. As you're waiting,
Everest. Expedition Everest.
As you're waiting in the queue, there's like this whole museum dedicated to the Yeti.
I like the fact that they're doing that because they're giving you something entertaining whilst you're waiting.
But it is great because there are people in the queue who think that this is
well. And look, it's a very strong narrative choice.
Do they have mullets?
That one's from
definitely.
That's at Disney's Animal Kingdom, which is the Expedition Everest ride.
Okay,
and it goes through a storyline of when you first arrive. The first exposure you see is cultural things that people have made from this village of the Yeti, and then you go into like the British explorer's hut where he's got all the sightings and clippings. And as you progress through the ride, narratively, you keep getting closer and closer. So at one point you see the shadow of the Yeti and then you see a hand and then you see the full Yeti reveal.
Ooh.
So it's a clever way of doing it. They did that. That's Disney style.
Mm.
Start with the fanciful, make it more and more real until you actually confront.
Mm.
But anyway, this show is not about the fanciful stuff like that, but it's about this guy. His grandfather was an explorer and someone who specifically went to try and find extinct creatures and found a fish that had supposedly been extinct for, they believed, 200 million years.
That's a fair while.
Yes. So he's following in his grandfather's footsteps.
Big sleep.
And the first episode, it's an hour and a half episode, it's about the Zanzibar lion. So Zanzibar, of course, in Africa, small island. And there haven't been sightings of this particular leopard in 20 years, or maybe even more, 30 years or something like that, because it's closely associated with mystical juju and bad voodoo and stuff in this country. So the government basically declared war on them. And there are small sections of people that strongly believe that they're still out there.
Mm.
I've seen a lot of this type of show where they had something. I think they found it.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I've stopped, because I want to talk about it now where I'm in like, I think they found it. And then we can come back next week and be like, that's not going to found it.
So why do you think they found it? What made you sure?
They set up these night cameras and the very first night something with spots showed up. And it's either this damn leopard and it, like the thing's got hind legs like a cat and this sort of stuff, or it's something, I think it's called a spotted caracal, which is a very small cat, but it's actually never been photographed or filmed before. So even if they, either way,
that's exciting.
He's hit gold. So that's why I say I wanted to pause, and I'll return, and I'll leave you all on the edge of the seats,
so
just like me.
One,
did he find or
one.
Not? And there's a few more episodes of that show to come.
Great.
So I'm really bored with this.
Sounds like you're loving it.
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
Speaking of something that I loved, I watched the season return of Wentworth,
which is the Prisoner remake,
and which I'd completely forgotten about. Thank you for the previously before the episode. We'd left with Frankie escaping, and also dun da 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 dun, the freak had escaped as well.
What?
Only to be buried alive. Yes.
What?
I know. We haven't seen her. Her body is... we didn't see her dead. We just saw her panicking in a coffin. I think she's coming back.
That is a major fear.
It's a pretty bad one, isn't it?
Like, that would be awful.
It would be absolutely frightening.
Buried with Ryan Reynolds?
Yes.
I think I did.
Where the entire film is just him in a casket?
That's him in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd it end? Let's spoil it.
Let's not.
Oh.
You don't remember, so I'm not telling you.
I don't remember, but I know it's one of those ones that I've watched, and it just annoyed me.
Don't worry,
I'll be Wikipedia-ing.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
So the beast is loose.
Yeah, solid episode.
Might be like a Solomon Grundy style.
I have a feeling that might be what happened. Zombie? Probably not zombie, but that'd be awesome. We were also introduced to a new character, and we got a little bit of her backstory, but I'm intrigued to see more because... why did we see her dressed as a cop briefly in her backstory, but also see her...
Why did we?
Why did we? And why also did we see her in a bikey gang? What's going on?
Is she an undercover
the
brother?
It sounds like a Westworld episode. I don't understand.
So she's either undercover...
She could be undercover.
Or an avid cosplay fan.
Yeah. Yeah, she stumbled her way in. Yeah. She just really loves Wentworth, and they didn't realize that she's not actually in the cast.
Oh, gosh.
Foof, right?
Oh,
what else have you watched?
A celebrity Undercover Boss.
Yes, I've heard about this. I've seen bits and pieces of it.
I loved that.
Yes. So this is...
Got you right in the feels.
I was going to say, this one this week was Stephanie McMahon, who's the...
WWE, isn't it?
I think she's chief brand officer for the WWE, daughter of Vince McMahon. Owner and manager.
So hang on a second. People's elbow. How can she go undercover? Surely people know her.
Well, that's the thing. She's one of the most recognizable parts of wrestling these days.
So what did they do?
So they did a full prosthetic makeup for her.
They went full on.
Different nose, different cheekbones. She put on a southern accent, different coloured hair, glasses, this sort of stuff.
Wow.
It was meant to be a very sceptical, meek reporter doing a story on wrestling.
Right.
And the first guy she talks, she goes and meets a young guy who runs his own gym. He's a former gymnast and he teaches gymnastics to young girls. And his dream is to be the first openly gay wrestler, or openly gay world champion.
Yeah, right.
And his story was heartbreaking of father leaving and no support. And he got into wrestling because he used to be a bully and this sort of stuff. But
he used to be a bully.
Yeah. And then after everything that happened with his father leaving and things like that, he became bullied.
That sucks. So the whole thing does, yeah.
His story was very interesting. Then there was another one of a Navy, a young guy who'd been in the Navy and gotten horribly hurt and lost a leg and some fingers and this sort of stuff. Mm. And on the operating table, the there was a small TV in the room with the wrestling on, and he focused on that, and it pulled him through what should have been life-ending injuries.
Mm.
And so he vowed to work in wrestling any way he could. And he spent the last few years as a freelance wrestling photographer. And his stuff is great. And if you're into wrestling at all, you've seen his photos.
Yeah, okay.
And he uses the opportunity to pitch himself to Stephanie McMahon, like without knowing it's her, but like explains his story and this sort of stuff. And the third one, the wrestlers are known for working with Starlight Foundation and children, and it's a young family of a cancer survivor, a young boy, who's started his own charity selling wrestling action figures to raise money for other children with cancer.
Oh, yeah,
that's great.
And
that's beautiful.
Holy shit, I bawled my eyes out. Like, these stories were so affecting.
And how did she go as these stories were being told to her?
Ruin her prosthetic makeup.
It was interesting to see that she could keep herself quite composed. Like, she's very, very media trained.
Okay.
And the other, like, she spends a lot of time with sick children and struggling families. This is not a new situation for her to be put in, like a lot of the other undercover bosses I've seen.
Yeah.
But when she's interacting with them, she was brave and kept it together and stuff, but as soon as they did the post interviews afterwards, you could see the veneer fade and the crushing emotion,
the fragility
of that came through. Wonderful episode.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
It sounds
messed
great.
Me
I
up.
Have to watch that.
Yeah.
Messed me up. I'm sitting downstairs crying and Lindsay's calling from upstairs. You all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm watching Undercover Boss.
I love a good cry.
Yeah.
You're not the only one that watches that show and ends up like that.
I got two last ones.
Yeah,
two
go
movies.
For it.
One, I went to the movies, one I watched at home. So I don't know if you've heard, but Shay, my daughter, she's really into The Descendants and Descendants 2 at the moment. We watched a lot of Disney musical.
I saw that at JB Hi-Fi the other day.
Mm.
What is it?
So it's the children of some of Disney's worst villains. All the villains
like
have
Maleficent
been...
Maleficent and that.
Yes.
Thing.
So Maleficent's daughter, Mal, is the lead character. Then you've got the evil queen from Snow White, her daughter. Jafar from Aladdin, his son, and Cruella de Vil's son are the four main villain kids.
Great.
And there's a villain island where the villains are all locked away, but their children have to live on that island, so they've been judged guilty before.
Aww.
You know, that sort of stuff. So it's about the son of Beauty and the Beast. He comes to the island, meets some of them. He's going to be king and decides that let's try and rehabilitate some of these kids and bring them across. And it's all-out musical extravaganza in the style of a high school musical movie. Anyway, So Shay's been watching that on a loop. And I decided I'd mix it up because Disney put out a new one called Disney's Zombies.
Whoa, which, that's got something for you and something for her.
Well, I hoped it would.
Oh, really?
It didn't.
The songs aren't too catchy and they're not real zombies. They're just pasty white guys. And they're treated differently. And the town's got to, hey, stop treating those zombies so bad. Zombies are kind of people too.
So they're just people that don't see a lot of sun?
Yeah,
can't call those people zombies. They're just pale.
Well, they're technically dead. So it's
Do
you remember that show from a few years ago where there were zombies? People came back from dead, but they weren't craving brains and stuff like that. And they're trying to—I can't even remember what it's called right now. I think it was a Danish show or something.
I was going to say probably being Norwegian, human, but it's not. Yeah, probably.
Someone listening will tell me, and I'll slap my forehead over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty average.
That's a shame.
There's a lot of...
Did she like it?
She loved it. She wants to watch it again. Oh. All right. We can
dug your own grave there.
See what you did there, Cam. Good work.
Especially because it's not out on DVD, so I bought it on my iPad, and now she just wants to grab my iPad and watch it all the time. Piss off.
Your mistake. Mm.
So that was pretty average. The other film I saw was Jurassic World
and
Fallen Kingdom.
What'd you think?
I really enjoyed it. It's not a great film by any stretch.
What is it on the Jurassic Park scale?
So the
where
one thing I really discovered about myself is that I like the films where the park is open and working and falls apart.
Yeah.
So
right.
If Jurassic World was a remake and kind of very strong retread of Jurassic Park, This is very much a retread of The Lost World.
Okay.
So there's some beautiful shots and it's...
Oh, the trailer made it look amazing.
Yeah, well, it's very suspenseful. There's a lot of horror thrown in there.
Did the trailer give away a lot of it?
So we were talking
way
about this
much?
And I thought it should be okay, the whole thing.
Oh, that's
so annoying. Yeah,
that's not
okay, I sat there going,
this.
Okay, yep. Yep, and a lot of those moments would have blown. Well,
yeah.
It would have blown my mind if I hadn't known some of the things they pull in this film. You know, there's some serious swerves. Humanity is definitely the bad guy. We are getting comeuppance for our hubris in trying to recreate life and playing God, which has always been the theme of the series. But it really comes out strong. This is not a feel good movie.
Jeff Goldblum
for 40 seconds.
I think it's obligatory.
Because he's magical.
Yeah.
He's magical.
But it does have what might be my favorite Jurassic Park opening. Like the opening scene. You know, the first one you've got the workers, one of them gets ripped into the raptor cage. The third
you're
one's...
You're like, what's going on there?
The third one's got the little boy hang gliding
on the beach,
with someone else. The beach is the second one, Lost World, this sort of stuff.
I must admit, some of the, like, the blur, it's like the Superman
yeah,
movies.
They blur together,
blur,
hey?
Yeah.
This one has a really strong opening.
Oh, cool.
Going back to the island after some time off.
Yep.
You know, it's been 3 years since the events of Jurassic World. The dinosaurs were left to run rampant.
Always good. Let's go back.
Have you guys seen Incredibles 2?
Not yet.
No, what'd you think?
Not
Have
yet.
You seen it?
I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts?
Loved it.
Yes.
I enjoyed, yeah, I think I enjoyed all of it. The Edna shows up.
Good.
And she's amazing.
Does Syndrome show up?
Syndrome, no.
Oh.
No Syndrome. And you know at the
gosh,
you know
favorite.
At the end of the first one, the Underminer.
Yeah.
yeah. He makes an appearance and he's just brilliant.
Is Jack-Jack like real powerful? Or just lots of powers?
He's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
A fair few, like, and they play that up a fair bit because, you know, like that's where the basis of the actual Incredibles movies sort of spawned from. Mm. It was a short that they put together, like they do with the Pixar sort of films, just of Jack-Jack's powers, which I think they sort of featured at the end of the first one.
I think he was supposed to be like Baby Herman from Roger Rabbit with powers.
Yep.
He was great.
Awesome.
So is it rewatchable? Like, is it go back to the like movies watchable? Or is it, I really enjoyed that. If I see it streaming somewhere, I'll watch it again and probably smile the whole time.
Can I just interject with one more question towards that? Did you cry?
Did I cry?
Because it's a Pixar movie. And
good point.
The
short at the start.
I've heard.
Is moving.
Yeah, really?
That is so good.
Bow?
Yeah, bow. Bund.
The amount of tears very much dictates how much I will rewatch any given Pixar film. So up is real low at the bottom.
That's a lot of tear.
Oh, boy, I don't want to see that first 10 minutes again.
Yeah, it's pretty
bad.
It's
one of those things that if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It sticks with you.
Mm. Have you seen Treasure Planet?
I haven't seen that. What's that?
Oh.
Wasn't that...
It's an early Disney one, and it's sort of based on the Treasure Island movies.
In space, though, right?
But it's in space. Mm. Do yourself a favour. Watch it. It's so good.
Is he going to cry?
I think so.
Okay.
I cry.
I cry at a lot of things. We cry at different things.
I cry at most things. I love a good cry. But no, Incredibles, I think I'd see it again. I think also because I went on my own, but I'd like to see it with company because I'd like to see how they react. Because it's one of those things that you sort of, well, at least for me, I'm 23, you sort of grow up with.
Yep.
So I remember seeing the first ones when I was much younger.
Yeah. So you're definitely going in with that nostalgia aura.
Oh, for sure. So they've got a nice mix of nostalgia with like new as well.
Mm.
And it's nice as well because Mrs. Incredible, Elastigirl, she sort of takes a bit more of a front seat.
Oh, great.
You get to sort of see her and it's a bit of a comment on feminism at times and that sort of thing.
You tell it, sister.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it's good.
For those, well, you might not know, but Cam is a twin. What was the last time you, last movie you saw with Matt?
Last movie I saw with Matt?
Yeah.
Oh, what was that one which he thought was really funny? He was yelling out.
Was I at it?
This is fucking hilarious or something. And it was like a PG movie or something like that. And some mothers were there with their kids and it was just like, Matt.
He was shrinking in the seat.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's a bit of a Goomba.
A bit of a Gumby. No, it was probably one of the Marvel movies, Infinity War.
Yeah, we did go
to that.
That's
not too long ago.
No, that wasn't that long ago. Why do you ask?
Because he's good fun to watch a movie with.
He's great to watch movies with.
Does he get into it?
No, generally not. Like he will get into bits and pieces. But
he loves asking a good question during a movie.
He's got a lot of questions.
Oh, Tom, I can't see you standing that.
Well,
Tom finds it insufferable.
Most people, I can't handle it. But with him, his questions are never what you would expect.
Okay. So they almost make it more entertaining.
It was a running joke in the family. When he was younger, Cam was the last person you wanted to sit next to.
Why?
Movie. Why is that person? What are they doing? I'm not sure what's happening. You had a lot of questions, but you grew out of it. Whereas Matt, on the other hand, used to sit in silence, taking it in. Whereas now he'll just lean over and be like, "That person's shirt was blue a minute ago."
Oh, he's catching all the mistakes.
So he catches things like that, but he's not asking emotional questions.
It's all continuity stuff.
Yeah,
his stuff is very subjective. The door handle doesn't look right. Like it's very, very keen observations are excellent and very funny, but at the same time can completely ruin
a film.
Very
for you. Jarring.
So
maybe he'd be best as someone to go with on your second watch of a film.
Well, yes, exactly. And I think last time I saw a movie with him, he was coming down with a bit of a cold or something, a bit like myself right now.
Mm.
And he was, poor thing, was a bit sinusy. And
he makes sounds.
He's a
vocal.
Yeah, he's like a Dick Van Dyke of like... sinusy sounds, but
does he listen? We'll soon find out.
I think we're pretty safe.
Okay, great, super safe.
We went and saw Toy Story 3.
Oh,
and this is another family legend story. It was my dad, myself, and Matt. And I'm sure you remember there was a very confronting scene where they're coming towards a garbage disposal unit, and there's flames, and they all hold hands and accept their fate, resign themselves to what's going to happen. And I'm sitting there crying.
Mm.
It's really got me in the feels. Because, you know, first Toy Story came out when I was real young. And this is a story about growing up, maturing, letting go of the past. And this sort of stuff was really connecting with me. And Matt turns to me and goes, "What the fuck are you crying for? It's a kid's movie. They're toys."
I remember how shitty you were at him afterwards.
He ruined the film for me.
Oh, I just, it was so funny.
That was it. I was pulled out of the emotional
Talking
moment.
Of Toy Story growing up... Do you remember when you called a certain character?
Yeah, he was a shit, so we called him Sid.
And then the fallout from that?
Well, hang on, who did you call Sid?
Matt.
Okay.
He was a shit, so we'd call him Sid, the naughty neighbour. And he would get...
Matt took that so seriously.
He
got
really?
Increasingly angry about it, and to the point where I think for a good 2 years the word Sid was forbidden in the house.
He didn't talk to you for like 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
Did he just block you out? He was like...
You weren't that
pretty funny.
You weren't that fast.
No.
Poor Matt.
Poor nice Matt. Bit of quiet.
Nice bit of quiet. Have we got anything else before we jump into the West? Oh, well, oh no, it's quiz then Westworld spoiler.
Well, I got a Westworld thing that's not a spoiler.
Okay, go.
So the Valley Beyond, you know, that real picturesque place we saw?
Purdy.
Perth.
What?
It's over in Western Australia.
Really?
Yeah.
The Hemsworths.
That's where they're all from.
That location. The most idyllic place imaginable.
Is in Perth.
Bernard came. Well, I don't know if it's in Perth, but it's in Western Australia. That's pretty good.
That's amazing.
Go Oz.
Yeah. And why was that picked? I mean, it's great, but...
I need to do some watching.
You bloody really
beautiful.
Do.
Oh. Bloody beautiful it is.
It's perfect and beautiful every day.
Don't let it distract you from the fact.
That yeah. That
people are taken by crocodiles.
Beside that point. Mm. And we will get to our Westworld spoiler soon, but do you want to do a bit of a quiz?
Always.
Okay.
Yes, please.
You were talking about Jurassic Park, so I thought we'd do a Michael Crichton
quiz. Here we go. Bring it on. You're going to lose.
I am going to lose.
Novel, true or false? Sure. There are six of them.
Okay. As in, is this something false. He wrote or is this something made up?
Is this a Michael Crichton movie or is this a title Lee has just made up?
Sure.
The Cage.
Made up.
Made up.
Correct.
Yes.
Rising Sun.
True.
Correct, from 1992. What about Airplane?
False.
Yeah, false.
How good would it have been if he had made that Leslie Nielsen movie?
I know.
That would be pretty amazing.
That's all I was thinking about.
I was getting that.
Do you remember that scene where they're like beating sense into that woman and then it zooms out and then it's got like a nun with a baguette or something like that?
Oh, yes.
So silly. I love it.
Need to watch that again. And the Naked Gun movies. We need to see those again. All right, what about Airframe?
True.
True.
Yeah, from 1996. Micro?
True.
False.
It's true. I've written...
That was maybe his last story before he died.
Yeah, because it's from... That doesn't make any sense. It must be from 2001, because I think he died in 2008. But what I've written is 2-11. I don't know what that means. But it's one of his later ones.
Oh, yeah. That's
set in Hawaii.
Yes.
Final one, Solitary World.
False.
True.
I don't know who said what then.
I said false.
It's false.
Because he did Westworld and Futureworld.
So I see what I did and Jurassic
World.
Oh.
That's
what I did there.
Yep.
That's
all
pretty
right.
Good.
Thank you very much. Congratulations to...
Thomas.
Just by one though, right?
By two.
Oh. Wasn't counting.
Not that I'm giving points.
You know what thing Michael Crichton created that you would never expect?
What?
ER.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What, the TV show?
Uh-huh. That's Michael Crichton.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
That's but pretty cool. Like,
I got mad love for Michael Crichton.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
But there's no dinosaurs in that.
Yeah.
Or androids.
His was not dinosaurs.
Stuff.
His was about humanity's hubris. Everything he wrote is about us getting comeuppance
really
from technology.
Is
That's
really
what he's obsessed it. With.
Mind blown.
He loves technobabble.
Do you think he liked Blade Runner?
Probably.
He probably would
have.
Yeah,
he would have loved that.
Sort of, yeah.
The new one?
Oh, he wouldn't have got to see that, would he?
He's dead, Jim.
He's dead. He's dead, Jim.
Time for our spoiler section.
Press the button.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
So
you did send me a text.
Yeah.
That said, I'm so confused.
So I watched it with two of my buddies last night. And I turned to them and I said, gentlemen, it's not very often in life that I will admit being confused by a television show.
So I need to know, was it the whole thing? Was it a certain part? Was it the time jumping? Were you still a bit confused about that? Which got you super confused?
It was a combination of the time jumping, yet people still being... It's the same actor playing the same character, often in the same clothes. Mm. That was throwing me. And all the post-credit stinger with William.
I know. I'm heavily into that.
Because I was convinced he was a robot a few episodes ago.
Me too. And I actually was convinced in season one.
Sure. I nearly threw up at the shot of him digging around in his own arm and the arm's lost colour and clearly starting to bleed out.
I looked away.
How is he still moving around?
I was not part of
clearly,
that.
Clearly, he is not a human.
Exactly. Makes more sense. So when... Now we, I guess, have to wait to find out when where in the timeline he stopped being him.
Well, that's it.
For us.
I think the big clue was that we saw the recreation in the, what do they call it? The Sublime, which is the virtual Westworld.
Yeah.
Which they very handily letterboxed. I don't know if you saw the aspect ratio changed for when they were in that virtual world.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
It just letterboxed ever so slightly.
That's very clever.
Yeah, so you can really keep track. And yeah. Use a lot more green screen.
Yeah, right.
And that sort of stuff. I think everything we saw to do with William being attacked and stuff with Dolores and everything outside was at the same timeline. But when he was going down, when he was following them down in that lift, he had a knife. And then when we saw him later, he was loading a gun. So, and when the doors open, he's there. Everything's dry, dusty, cleaned out.
But his hand is still mangled.
But I think the big clue is when they were talking about the virtual Westworld, of how they ran the simulation with James Delos 18 million times. But it was always that single moment, that transformative moment that caused the break in his algorithm or whatever you want to call it, that informed all his decisions.
Mm.
For William, that's got to be shooting his daughter.
It's got to be, right?
So I think that's
do they want it to be when his wife committed suicide?
Well, I don't know, but if the wife is the key thing, because it's the physicality that's
true.
That's what I'm saying.
And I guess we haven't had the payoff of... the aftermath of the daughter being killed.
No, and... I think it's very important that we saw William on the beach. He was the high-value priority target that they've found and we're going to retrieve. And I think the damages we've seen with him season 3, we could very easily see him really starting to follow the immortality that he's craving and start to upload, or James Delos himself, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's a good name for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to really... progress into that. So when I say I'm much less confused now, because it's nearly 24 hours since I've seen it.
Yeah, I've had a bit of time to digest.
Read a few things. Yeah, I've read a little bit. But it was like it was intentionally making itself very difficult to follow.
That got me jazzed. And the funny thing is, I don't usually stick around for the credits of Westworld. I usually go, but I fast forwarded it just in case, and suddenly went, "Oh, hang on a second, what's this?" Yeah, exactly. A funny thing that I went straight onto Twitter after I watched it, and wasn't necessarily reading stuff about that. I was reading about how Dolores got out.
Yes.
Some people were confused. I thought that bit was quite straightforward. That she was scanned. Suddenly the Hemsworth brother comes up and says that sort of slightly masked spiel that he gave. Mm. You know, that I'm only in charge of the host within.
Yep.
The park, and then let her go and said, "All clear." I wasn't sure why that caused people confusion. There were so many other aspects that confused me. Like, how did Teddy suddenly end up in the Eden?
Oh, because
What point was that?
He was the one, she said that she had to put someone else into the frame.
That was that bit.
So that was, she was taking right. Teddy. Because you remember she took his brain thing. And the bullet that he'd shot himself with was she put in, and that blew up William's hand. So there was a bit of a progression
there. I missed that little bit.
Teddy gets happy time, we won't see him again. Achita and the rest of the Ghost Nation, they're off.
Yeah.
Beamed into space or some shit.
We have got, some sort of server. Season 3 is going to feel quite different.
Yeah.
Simply because of who we've lost.
Well, look, Felix and Sylvester, the two technicians, they're still knocking about. They've been asked to salvage. So they've got Maeve, they've got Hector, they've got the rest of that group there that they could bring up. Hopefully.
Blonde Snake Girl.
Stephen Ogg.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I haven't seen him since like the first episode.
He deserves
of this
to
season.
Come back.
He's not doing anything.
Exactly. He's free. My favorite moment of the whole episode was when Dolores and Bernard has the gun up at her.
Yep.
And she says something like, "You have to wake up. It's a dream." And he goes, "It's not a dream. This is a fucking nightmare."
I love that too.
Which was the realest thing that he has ever said. The that was out of an action movie.
Yeah, it certainly was. It was almost, I thought to myself, is that something Ford has said in the past? I also liked the fact that Dolores was completely aware of the fact that she was the one that made him.
Yep.
I loved that bit. Yep. That bit, it gave me a bit of shivers up the spine and went, "Whoa, yes." Bernard, this season was very much about Bernard. Bernard's story progression is the reason why I'm going to go back and watch this season again.
Sure. Well, you remember last week we mentioned Fahrenheit, the book that he found. Sorry, not Fahrenheit, Slaughterhouse.
Yeah, which was a reference from Lost, right?
Yes. And it was even clearer this week because it's a man becoming unstuck in time psychically and skipping through his own timeline and this sort of stuff, which Bernard did to himself, scrambled his own brains.
Exactly.
So they couldn't find the info.
Amazing, right?
I think that means no more Hopkins on the show.
I don't think so. I agree with you, I think he's gone.
There's no...
He was at the sunset and he's gone.
Yeah, and Dolores said that statement about the you live as long as you're remembered. As long as the last person who remembers you is alive, you are alive.
You are alive.
So if everyone else is gone...
Yeah.
Really?
Who else...
Lee got a very heroic death, the writer.
Yeah.
I thought that for him, like, it was a stupid decision.
It was a stupid decision. It actually didn't give them too much time at all. They'd already started running off.
But his act there, I feel, is what inspired Maeve at the end to sacrifice herself. And it was one of those great things of Hector was doing his speech. He says, stop, that's already my speech.
Yeah.
And then Maeve does that, makes that decision at the end, and it's... How much is she being swayed by Lee there, by her programming, by her scripts that he wrote for her, and also being inspired by visually seeing him make that stand?
So they're still sort of giving, they're still shadow, hiding the clarity there.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I also found I was upset that quite a lot of people went, because I thought, no, like, this is super final. They're in Eden now. And then I started to think about Dolores. Like, I love the fact that I love the fact that I didn't see that coming.
Sure.
And I just went, whoa, that's you. That's amazing. But who's going to be Dolores season 3?
Well, they made that point at the end to show that Dolores has remade her old body, plus she's got Hale.
She's got her, so they're both.
She put someone in Hale.
Yeah, who is there? Teddy?
Well, she took five pearls.
She can't have Teddy. She's already given Teddy away.
So she took five of the pearl key things.
Yeah, she did.
With her.
So who would they be?
Bernard is one. That's how she remade Bernard. Maeve makes a lot of sense, but they weren't particularly close.
But I thought she didn't have Maeve. I don't think Dolores had time to grab her.
Well, her files would have still been on that server, potentially.
Potentially, but you... Yeah, there's...
Who knows?
Yeah, all we know is that there's the potential that Maeve is going to be in season 3.
Yeah. I don't think... They're not getting rid of everyone.
No, you can't.
No. Season 3, and if the show goes further, will be less and less about humanity.
Hmm.
I think that might be the intention of showing us William in what could potentially be the far-flung future, talking to host version of his daughter as well.
Yeah.
Maybe humanity's all gone and he's still running on a feedback loop.
What a depressing, dystopian reality that he's a part of. Oh, man.
Not very feel-good.
No, it wasn't very feel-good.
So you got a long time to wait.
A really long time to wait, so I'm going to re-watch it. Probably not season 1.
I don't know. Season 1 helped a lot.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Season 1 was an amazing bit of television. I loved it. But I'm more confused about season 2. And
sure.
I think a second watch will help me become more clear about what the intentions were.
I would just say from Hale's actions, it's very interesting to go back and watch season 1.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And reconcile her with what we see throughout season 2 and really noticing as to who is actual her versus who is Dolores her.
Because we did jump back and forth a lot this season.
And it turns out Dolores Hale has been through plenty of it this season. We've seen her peppered through a lot without knowing.
Exciting. Oh. Great show. I reckon we're done with Westworld.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But we might even mention it next week. We'll have some rumination.
Yeah, I definitely need a bit of time to think and read as well.
Bit of digest.
Should we get Cam back?
Yeah, let's do it.
Wait, Cam.
So we've just finished talking about Westworld and we've invited Cam back in because he's not caught up. And
yeah.
Some people, like Abe, is happy to talk with us because he doesn't mind spoilers, but I know you wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
No.
So I now hate spoilers.
Well, now we're going to talk about your other fave.
Mr. Handmaids. Miss Handmaids, I should say. Have you watched any Handmaid's Tale?
No, but I've been wanting to.
Oh, this is a great show. It's super depressing.
Good.
And very close.
Super depressing.
Like
dystopian.
Very dystopian. And one slight little move to the left or right, it could be reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which is not good. We left this episode with a bit of a cliffhanger. We've still got a few episodes. Got 13 episodes in a season. So
it's a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one. We left it not knowing what happened to Nick. He got taken away by some security. Mm-hmm. Had he been shot? We're not sure. Oh, Fred was stuck literally in the middle of nowhere, very heavily pregnant, just had this extremely emotional reunion with her daughter, who at first didn't even seem to recognize her, and then was like, why did you leave me? Oh. She can't explain it because it's all far too depressing and you can't tell a little kid everything that happens, particularly what a handmaid has to do. We also saw what a handmaid doesn't necessarily have to do but was forced to do it. I mean, this is what handmaids have to do is a ritualized rape pretty much, and then this is just flat-out rape with Serena holding her down as she's going, no, no, no. Mm. It was very, very full-on and confronting scene. Oh, and if you weren't already aware of the fact that what these handmaids are made to do, this hammered at home. And then she was left suddenly in the middle of nowhere, freezing cold, heavily pregnant. She
They're
just
bearing
runs.
Society's children, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah?
Yeah, because fertility rates have gone down.
Right.
Rapidly in this world. And these are the women that can bear children. And the men who get to be the... What would you say? The donor?
Progenitors.
Yeah, brilliant yeah. work. Are the commanders or the men higher up in Gilead.
Right.
So it's very yucky.
Have you read the book?
I have read the book.
Margaret Atwood. Isn't it?
Margaret Atwood. And
she seems fun.
Yeah. Oh. A barrel of laughs. But
yeah, I read some of her stuff in high school. She's a
barrel of laughs. Yeah, some of her books can be poetry. Pretty hard going. This one, I actually listened to it as an audiobook and I felt that was probably a little
nice.
Better.
Nice, sure.
Right.
It's very insular. Mm-hmm. Handmaids, as the book, is very insular because
How do you mean?
You're only hearing from her, okay. From the main character.
Sure. Right, okay.
And her life as a handmaid is extremely insular. Not only does she not know much about outside of Gilead, so she doesn't know what's going on in the rest of the world, she doesn't know what happened to any of her family or friends because there's no way of knowing. There's also... She barely even knows outside the household that she lives in because they're not allowed to know anything. They're not allowed to read. They're not allowed to talk to each other about anything like this. It's very insular. And that's how a lot of this is. But at the same time, as a viewer, we're getting to see outside of her, of her eyeballs pretty much. Amazing series. And it's free. It's free to watch on SBS on demand. Just watch it.
Wow.
It's there for you.
All right. Adding it to the list.
Yeah, that's some homework for you. This has been a fun episode, Cam. Thank you so much for coming on.
Cheers, Big Ears.
Thank you for having me. Same goes, Big Nose.
You're welcome back.
Anytime you like. Cam, thank you.
Yes, please.
Tom.
Top of the morning.
To me?
To all.
Aw.
Bye-bye.